Hello.
Hi.
Hey, party people.
Love it.
Here we are. It's our second podcast.
Yes, number two.
It is gonna be interesting this time. We're talking about Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner.
That seems right.
This book, I feel like it's one of those books that I saw. Like, I see people talking about, and I cyber stalked a friend of mine who I also read books with. I stalked her Goodreads account, and I like to cruise through and see, like, what people rate 5 stars. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this was one of the ones she rated 5 stars. And so I was like, I'll try it.
Just for reference, what is another book that she has rated 5 stars? That we would both know.
A Visit from the Goon Squad.
Got it.
Which I didn't love.
Right, I didn't
love. It was good, but I would not have given it 5. So I think we've got a couple data points now.
Love it.
Here.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
The book is a memoir about a Korean American woman, and sort of her centers around her relationship with her mom and food. I think that's, if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably read the book. You don't need me to tell you what the book is about. that's it. And I enjoyed it. So I guess, are we doing initial thoughts?
Sure.
My initial thoughts are, I bought the book and started reading the book, and I think I was about 20 pages in and was like, I'm not going to be able to get through this. Too many foods I don't know. Not really identifying too much with where we're headed. It was only 20 pages. Generally, I have a 50-page grace period. And I think I maybe texted you at that point and was like, how you doing? And were you...
I made it to page 29.
Yeah. Oh, I was 21. I think I was on 21 at that same time. And you... if I recall, we're like, let's bag it.
100%. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, let's bag it. And I was like, yeah, we should just, let's bail. Yep. And then I can't remember why, but I was like, come on, like 5 stars? So I texted my friend and I was like, dude, give me some, like, should I keep going? Like, what's the story here? Is it going to get better? And she was like, oh, I listened to the audiobook. And I was like, okay. So I don't know if I'm unique, but I have like 18,000 Audible credits that I need to use. So I downloaded the audiobook, and much better.
So much better. Like, immediately better.
So much better immediately. Yes.
And I think...
And I...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Just to say real quick, I think part of it is, it's very... there's not a lot of dialogue in the book. So I think when you're reading it, it's like... I felt like it was just like wall of text, you know?
Yeah.
And... I find when there are words that are not in the English language based, I stumble reading those. So to hear somebody say them was a lot easier.
So I didn't really, I think from the time I started the audiobook, I had no problem. Like, I never really kind of got into a lull. I was, like, kind of trucking right along. In fact, there was one evening where I was like, I wanted to actually read. And so I was like, oh, I'll just pick up the book, you know, where I left off. And I read like a page and I was like, nah, I can't. I can't do this. So I think I gave it 4 stars. And frankly, I like whole numbers on my ratings. But really, it's probably closer to like a 3.5 for me.
Yeah, it was a 3.25 for me.
Okay. You do quarters.
I do quarters. I like to be precise with my ratings.
So, What were your initial thoughts?
Initially, well, yeah, obviously the same thing. Like, I had a really hard time getting into it. Was not really that interested. I mean, look, we know what happens. I think she tells you that kind of initially. You know that it's a book about, you know, her mom dying. And,
right.
You know, so you're the cat's out of the bag. You know what happens.
Spoiler
right,
alert.
Right. And initially, I just didn't connect with it. And then when I started listening to the audiobook, it did get a lot better. I also think that the audiobook part, starting the audiobook, coincided with kind of moving on past the initial food talk. I feel like that was huge in the very beginning. And I think we talked about, like, you know, I don't want to read, there are books I will read about food, but this is not the type of book I want to read that's about food, you know? And there was a scene, where they were in Korea, and there was an octopus, scene that really turned me off.
It means a vegetarian.
Yes. And
footnote.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, that freaked me out. I was like, how many more of these kind of scenes are there going to be? But luckily, I don't think there were any more like that, frankly. But I liked it. I liked the audiobook a lot. I thought she, and it was funny because I thought, I knew that she was the narrator, but I guess I forgot it listening to it. And at some point I was like, wow, the narrator is like very like deadpan. And I really enjoyed that delivery actually of it. And I think you were like, it's narrated by the author. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I think probably she did that.
You're like, I think she must be Korean.
Oh yeah.
Cause she's really good with these Korean words.
Right. Yeah, spoiler alert. Yep, it's the author. Yeah. But I think that added to it because, and I pictured her being so deadpan because, like, I'm sure it's hard to read that.
Imagine.
You know, so you probably have to kind of like go the total opposite way to be able to get through it. But yeah, it was interesting because it was about, you know, a lot of, I feel like, books about death are more about kind of like missing the person afterwards or like the last day. And this was too, but it was also more about, I think, her feeling more connected to her mom, maybe after she passed in some ways. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of an interesting perspective in this kind of like genre of memoir, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think for me, it was like less about, I mean, the title makes it, one would assume that it is like a story about grief. Mm-hmm. And I think to some degree it felt like it was, but for me it was more about the story of, it's kind of the story of her relationship with her mom and like how it had evolved, you know, throughout her life. and continued after her mom's death, which, you know, sort of speaks to what you were just saying. And I think, I mean, I think it's, and that to me was very relatable. So, like, I have had kimchi, you know, like, I've had, you know, some Korean food, but I've identified with that part more because I think, you know, relationships with our parents are challenging. They do go through these cycles. And I think I really enjoyed kind of hearing her talk about as she, you know, when her mom, it was sort of like a reflection, I'm assuming, of like cultural norms of, like, you know, she's like wanting to be a rock star and is like out doing her thing, and her mom gets sick, and like she does like drop everything and like goes and talks a lot about like wanting to, it's almost like reparations, you know, which I wasn't a troubled teen. I didn't go through sort of a real rebellious phase, but like I just thought it was really earnest and heartfelt, her like kind of coming around to this idea that it was her duty and role, and she wanted to like be there for her mom in a way that she had not been and that her mom had been for her. So I thought that was a really sweet part of the story to me.
Yeah, I agree. What did you think about, okay, I mean, what did you think about her mom as a character? Like, did you like her mom? I mean, I understand it's hard to talk about some, you know, the whole point, but I mean, did you get the feeling that, I mean, there were things that, and I loved that she mentioned these, there were things that her mom did for her, like buying shoes for her to like send to her when she was in college, and her mom would like wear them around the house to break them in for like 2 days.
Yes, beforehand. The breaking in of the shoes. I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I really.
Yeah.
I think it was really interesting that she told like kind of about, she described her mother's love by kind of like acts of service, you know, that her,
Of her
mom, which I thought was an interesting way to talk about someone rather than just like, oh, she, you know, she really loved me. And it was like, no, this is like the things that she did for me.
Very specific.
You know, which was really interesting. I finished the book wanting to know more about her mom and dad's relationship.
Oh, because that was a whole, yeah. That could be a whole other book.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. And I actually Wikipedia'd Michelle after I read the book, because I kind of wanted to like see a different picture of her, and I was actually kind of interested to see what her husband looked like. In reading her Wikipedia, it says, which you kind of get that feeling, I guess, from the end of the book, but I don't think she addresses it in the book. Maybe I missed it. But she says that she's estranged from her father now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not shocking.
Yeah, no, definitely not. but, which is really sad to me.
It's very sad. You know? Yeah, I also like this, the notion that her mother was sort of the glue that held the two of them together, and this like Hail Mary trip post funeral to try to like,
right,
you know, keep the relationship going, was just so, so sad to me. That whole storyline, so sad to me. And that, like, the fight that they have, and just terrible things that her dad said to her, like, oh, God, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, brutal, brutal. And, yeah, so, I mean, it's hard. I always talk about character development. But, like, I think that I don't have a great sense of her mom as a character in a way.
I agree.
So when you ask me, like, how would I think of her mom? I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's a hard one to wrap my mind around, a little bit, but because I think, again, there's a cultural element at play here too, I think, in like how we show love and I mean, everybody's different, right? I'm not making generalization about a culture, but I think that there are cultural norms and like how people parent and, you know, just this, it was really, because you said, you know, just exactly what you said, she was never like, oh, she really did a lot for me. Oh, she really, like, that's how I would describe a relationship with somebody, but not like she would like break in my boots for me before so I wouldn't get blisters. Like, whoa, like, okay. So it says something about her, but also doesn't. It's like an example, but it doesn't really paint the, it doesn't give you the full picture. So,
right. It gives you kind of the identity of her as a mom instead of the identity of her as like a person.
As a standalone person.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I understand. Like, it's Michelle's book, not her mom's, but her mom is such a huge character. I mean, is the main character, almost the main character, I guess, not technically, but, you know, so it's kind of just interesting because I also feel the same way. I don't think that, you know, she definitely wasn't perfect and, you know, I mean, nobody is, but, and had her kind of qualms, you know, but, I don't know. Yeah, I just felt like I wanted to know more about her in a strange way.
Yeah. I mean, I did have a moment of where I really identified with her mom when she was talking about these trips to Korea that they used to take when she was younger. And that when they would go to Korea together, this, like, she could sleep next to her mom and didn't have to have an excuse, and they stayed up late and she sort of was a kid again and she was goofy. And as a parent, I don't know, I really identified with that because like traveling with a kid, it can be very freeing. It gets you out of this like day-to-day routine and expectation. And I thought that showed, you know, Michelle talking about how her mom was different in those, on those trips, showed, I think, more of her character than I think we got in a lot of the other pieces of the book. And I, as a parent, do that. I'm like, oh, we're on vacation. Let's like, let's get room service and let's stay up late. And like, yeah. So like, you know, so like, I was like, oh, like, I just really identified with that. Like, oh, that's just a sweet, sweet memory, you know, and like nice that she got to experience her mom that way.
Yeah, for sure. I'd forgotten about that, but yeah, that's true. Yeah. I really enjoyed the parts of the book when she was in Korea, whether it was like when she was a kid or as an adult. I really did. I really liked those. Those were probably my favorite parts of the book, honestly.
Yeah.
And I also think, I think listening to the audiobook helped with that, with the names and,
yeah,
the, and totally, the places and mm-hmm, and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, because even when I picked up the book, and like, this is part of why when I picked up the book midway after I'd listened to the audiobook for a while and started reading and I came across names, I'm like, what's trying that? To connect the word I'm seeing, right, with like what it sounded like, what she's like, who is that?
Yeah.
And then, like, seeing it spelled out and not hearing it was like, wait a minute, this is not spelled the way I would imagine it to be spelled. And so it was very difficult to, like, just pick it up for that reason.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But, yeah, I think, you know, I thought it was very sad, like, very sad, you know, the moment of passing and like her last words were pain, you know, it was just very like heart wrenching, really. You know, it's coming, you know, but it's still always, that moment's always, I think, pretty tough. She did a good job of explaining. It's funny because that they were in Eugene, Oregon. I'm in Oregon, and I've been to Eugene, and used to have a friend in Eugene that had a very rural house on a filbert orchard, which is hazelnuts for you non-filbert people.
For you non Filbert or Oregon people.
Yeah, right. And this person I knew who had this property had like horses and she had kangaroos and like and Filberts. Anyway, and the way she described like the house and you know the kind of natural area around the house, you know, I had a very vivid, I don't know if it's because I have that memory, but like had a very vivid picture of that, of their house and like the surrounding area in a way that I didn't in like other parts of the book. So that was like a night, it was like, I think it was just like another kind of personal connection for me. Also, I have listened to Japanese Breakfast, her band, Michelle's band is called Japanese Breakfast. I think she says that in the book. And I think I looked back after reading because I was curious, like, I definitely have heard of, I mean, I heard of them before I knew about this book. And when they like, when she put out her first album and like in relation to like when this book came out and when her mother died, and it was like kind of all happening at once. Like, well, the book came out later, but her mom died and then it was like really like same year, I think, that the album was released. And she talks about it very briefly. But there were these like threads of like, oh, I know that, or oh, I've been there, or you know, that was kind of made it a little,
yeah, that's cool,
bit more relevant, you know.
Yeah, I
and oh, sorry, do you have an H Mart where you are?
No,
because we have H Marts here, and I've taken my kid to H Mart. I've been to H Mart and we go get snacks. We go visit the snack aisle, which is a fun adventure. That was another piece. Like I've never cried in an H Mart.
Still time. There's still time.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Sorry, so, I cut you off. Were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say it's funny because I have been to Eugene twice, and both times the Eugene Marathon. And so I also had pictured, because, you know, I've ran 26 miles around there, had pictured their property, but it was a picture on the route, you know, which I know was not anywhere near, frankly. I think they lived further, a little bit further out, but. Anyway, so I also had a pretty vivid picture in my mind of what I thought it.
Cool. I'd forgotten you did that,
Which was cool. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Town. I said when I went, I was like, I told my mom the first time we went, and I was like, if I had ever been here in my entire life, I would have 100% been dying to go to University of Oregon because it is just beautiful there. Probably like the most beautiful college campus I've ever seen. Not that I've seen a ton, but the green, just like so lush and beautiful.
Yeah, it's so green here, so I feel like it's nice to have those like little connection. I think probably every book has them, these little things that you identify with and connect with. But I don't, for like something on the surface, it's like, I don't know what it's like to be a kind of, I don't even know what the word is, like half Korean, half American, like fitting in. She talks a little bit about that. And not this notion of like not feeling like you belong in either place and like trying to prove your Americanness and then trying to prove your Koreanness.
Right.
You know, I can't identify with that really. And so like on the surface, it's like, how could I relate to this book? But there are these little, pieces that I thought she did a nice job of kind of weaving in, because memoirs are like hit or miss for me.
Me too.
But I thought I enjoyed this one, and I would recommend it to people, I think.
Yeah, I think I would recommend it. To certain people, for certain.
To certain people, yeah, right.
Types of books, you know. But so one of the biggest parts in the book was kind of like, you know, after her mom passed, she really wanted to kind of reconnect with her mom, and she would do that through food and cook, and she learned how to cook, and she tried to, like, you know, recreate a lot of the Korean things that her mom made her, which of course made me think of, like, oh, well, what, you know, what kind of food connections do I feel like I have? So what about you? What kind of food connections do you think, you know, that come to mind for you like that, that, like, make you feel a sense of, like, your family, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like my family's, like, a little bit non-traditional, and that my dad did more of the cooking than my mom. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. My mom did a lot of the cooking, but...
Not the memorable stuff.
He did as much. Yeah, he did as much. And then when my parents divorced, he, you know, I was mostly with him, and so I do remember him cooking a lot. And I grew up in the South, so, it, you know, it's things like my dad's chicken and dumplings. Like, even now, as an adult, when I go home, he always makes a huge pot of chicken and dumplings. So, like, it's the smell, it's the leftovers, it's the, like, you know, the process, it's the texture, it's, like, you know, it's all that. So that's the first one that comes to mind for me. Pancakes.
I remember your dad's pancakes.
We have our kind of, yeah, he's, yeah. And he always had this, like, special syrup that he used and nobody else liked, you know? It was like straight, it was almost like cane syrup. Like, it was almost like molasses. Very dark, rich flavor. Yeah, what else? I think those are like the two main. Banana pudding. He always made a banana pudding. And then our holiday, you know, we made candy around the holidays. I mean, there's probably more, but, like, those are kind of the main ones that I think about. And I have ones for you.
Yeah.
Because I used to go to your house every day after school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, your mom would make grandma cookies.
Yep.
Were they your grandma's cookies?
Like, no.
Why did you call them grandma cookies?
They were called grandma cookies because my brothers were in Boy Scouts, and someone else's grandmother would make them, and they called them grandma cookies. And so they're basically just, like, no-bake chocolate oatmeal cookies that everybody...
Yeah.
But my mom made them and never used the recipe, and just, like, so they came out different every single time.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember eating that. It was so good. Probably haven't had them since.
Yeah. I make them occasionally, but I have to follow the recipe, sadly.
Maybe that wasn't, would that have been on your list if I hadn't said it?
Yes. Yes. That would have been on my list. But I honestly, I don't I mean, I'm sure I do, and I'm sure at some point I'll think of more of them, but I don't really have a lot from my mom necessarily. I mean, I have that, and I have, like, you know, she would make pancakes also, but she would cook up sausage first and then put the sausage in the pancakes and make sausage pancakes. And that
sounds good.
You know, that's definitely.
Why have I never tried that?
But I actually have some from my grandparents. That I think about, and that, you know, but they're kinds of things that, like, I will never have, like, potatoes that tasted like my grandma's potatoes, but I can still very, like, distinctly remember them. And then my other grandmother, like, her biscuits, like, I've never had biscuits like her biscuits, you know, things like that. And my mom's mom also used to make these things called tea cakes. She called them tea cakes. I don't know how to describe them. They're almost like a biscuit, like, not scone-like really, but anyway, I've never had them since. My mom never made them. My grandma did, but that was it. And I've tried to, like, find recipes for them. It was weird because I didn't, like, love them. But they just, like, so associate the them memory. With my grandma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I would like to have them now, or at least a recipe to, like, work from. But anyway, so I feel like I have more from my grandparents than I do, actually, from my mom. Huh. But, you know, same thing.
Because I didn't really think about my grandparents, but, like, my grandma, my mom's mom, there were a couple things she made that I completely forgot about. So she always made pineapple drop cookies. Mm-hmm. Delicious. So much shortening happened. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
But the best, this might even be, I can't believe I didn't think of this, but like top food memory associated with family would probably be, she used to make, we called it mush.
Sounds great.
And it's basically, she, and you know, we, she grew up like, you know, we're, you know, Native American, and she was very poor, and she got a huge bag of cornmeal in her, in, we called them Indian groceries at the time, probably shouldn't say that anymore, but like that's what we used to call them, the Indian groceries she got every week. And so she would, it's basically like a soft polenta, I mean, for us, those of us who are kind of bougie, but we like, she would mix the cornmeal with water and salt and like spread it out in a skillet with butter and like just fry it up until it was like really crispy. And like, man, my brother and I used to plow through like so much of it. And even now, God, it's so good. I don't know. There's something about it. It's not fancy.
Right.
But yeah, mush, fried mush.
It's so weird that you called it mush, even though she would fry it to get crispy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird to me. But that's
cool. So it's funny because one of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Annie. Mm-hmm. Little Orphan Annie. Mm-hmm. And Miss Hannigan used to say, "You're going to get cold mush for dinner," whatever she says.
Right.
And I was like, mmm. That doesn't sound bad.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, why are food memories so distinct? Is it because it's like taste and smell?
I think so. And probably. Visual.
Did they say smell is... Smell is like the strongest associated with memory. Did I make that up?
No, I feel like I've heard that. I've heard that.
Yeah.
And I also feel like so, that they say that women have a stronger sense of smell than men do. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. My mom listening, if she listens, ever listens to this podcast, might be disappointed that I didn't mention anything that she made. But that's okay. Yeah. There were things she made, but I remember, like, you know, we grew up eating, like, Spam and macaroni and cheese, like.
It was the 80s and 90s, of course, yeah.
It was, yeah. And Hamburger Helper.
Oh, yeah, Hamburger Helper, for sure.
So when I'm listening to her, like, you know, Michelle's talking about these dishes, like, she describes some of them, like, I threw in, you know, the tofu and the green onion, like, I'm like, oh God, that sounds so good. And I was actually really hoping there were recipes in the back.
I was too. I was surprised there weren't.
And there weren't, and I was very disappointed.
I was surprised by that.
I thought it was really sweet that she, so a couple things. The aunt, the aunt, Kay, what did her mom say to her? That made her leave.
I don't know.
I am so curious.
We'll never know. unless Kay writes a book.
Right. But I did think it was really sweet that, you know, I feel like a lot of people after the past, like, it was how she dealt with her grief, right? Is like trying to recreate these dishes. And I feel like a lot of people, it would be sad to do that. Because, like, I picture myself in that situation. trying to piece together a recipe of something my mom used to make, and it's not quite right. And I feel like I would be so sad that I did not take an opportunity when she was alive to learn how to make things. And I might just have, like, not done it. I might have just been like, well, I missed that opportunity, and, like, not. But it sort of seemed like a way she was sort of processing her grief, right? And that she found this YouTube lady, the YouTube lady. Yeah. I wanted her to, like, meet the YouTube lady.
Yeah.
What was it? Mangshi? Or I don't remember what her name was. But, like, I wanted her to, like, write her a letter and be like, you've helped me connect with my mom's memory. You know, right. Like, I really wanted some sort of a friendship to blossom. She wasn't the acknowledgments. Don't know if you noticed
that. Oh, I didn't. I didn't read the acknowledgments, I don't think.
Yeah. So, but I did think that was, like, a sweet
part of the story. One of my favorite things in the book was the kimchi refrigerator.
Oh, the kimchi refrigerator.
You know, her dad sells the house afterwards. There's a few things, you know, that they don't sell that she wants or whatever. She doesn't have room for it, so she stashes it in her in-laws, I don't know, it was like his grandparents basement or something.
Yeah.
And then she finally goes down and opens it, forgets it's there, opens it, and there's a box in there. And she's like, oh my God, it can't be food, right? And there's photos in there. Which, in my mind, I'm like, did her mom purposely, you know, she must have done that purposely. It's another thing, another gift. Not to say that her mom was a saint by any means, definitely did.
Yes.
Thought about.
A complicated relationship. Yeah.
You know, her daughter, and I thought that was so sweet.
It was, yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah. I had forgotten about that. Yeah, I enjoyed that part of the story as well. Peter. I thought Peter was an unnecessary character.
I
mean, I know he's a real person.
I think she felt like she... I don't know. I just feel like she felt like she had to include him because she's married to him and loves him and wanted him to have a piece of her story.
He basically,
you know,
forced him to marry her.
She did. Yep. She did.
Pretty much.
She did.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. And like the stuff about like them meeting and I was kind of like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I could, yeah. Sorry, Michelle. Sorry, Peter.
But. Sorry, Peter. I'm sure you're a great guy. Sounds like a great, great guy. And the fact that he, like, went to the spa and naked with her dad.
Stand-up guy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was funny. Yeah. No, I mean, it's like somebody's actual life, so I need to be like, I could have done without that guy.
It did feel like she was almost, like, laying it on kind of thick about how great
a little bit.
I don't think she said one bad thing about Peter, which, you know,
right,
great, but
maybe he's really great.
Yeah, I'm sure, but maybe it was, you know, maybe part of it was, maybe part of it was to, like, the juxtaposition between her married life versus her parents' married life.
Oh, and her mom's, yeah.
You know? Her dad was cheating.
Yeah, and the fact that she knew that, right, her dad was cheating and, like, never, oh my God.
But when you think about it, like, you're over here, you have a child over here, like, what are you going to do? You know?
Right. Yeah, back then, especially.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we got video chat now, so.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I just like the dad relationship. It's sad to hear that she's estranged, but like,
yeah, for sure.
Be overcome. What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else that stands out in my memory.
Was there anything that she
talked about?
Any of the dishes that she described where you were like, oh my gosh, I want to try that?
Yeah, there was a soup. I think it was the first soup she made with the YouTube lady. Was like a tofu, shrimp. No, it was the one with shrimp. I should look back in the book. There was one that she was like describing, and I was like waiting for an ingredient that I would be like, and like it didn't come, and I was like, ooh, that sounds good. And I have actually been meaning to go flip back through the book to see if I could find the name of it, because it did sound delicious. It's like a coconut milk.
You know, it would have been interesting if she had done some kind of, like, if not recipes, then some kind of, like, index of, like...
glossary.
Yeah, of, like, the food, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's me being, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it's. I think in any of these food-centric books, I mean, not that it's food. Food is such an important element of the story that I feel like it is nice to have... some kind of nod.
Right.
To that.
Right.
You know.
I think I was telling you that I read Ruth Reichel's Save Me the Plums. And it was like a food memoir. And she had recipes in it. It was funny because I listened to the audiobook. And so the recipe would be like, she would just read through the recipe. Which was kind of interesting. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I am glad you asked me that, because I am gonna flip back through and see what it was. I don't. You can tell I'm an inexperienced book podcaster, because I do not have the book with me right now. It's in the other room.
Well, you did just quit work for the day, so you know.
Yes, I did.
A quick thing. So.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I would have enough to talk for 20 minutes, but we've been talking for 40
minutes.
I feel
like you and I can talk about pretty much anything for 40 minutes.
That's true.
Yes. So, cool. Well, we should decide on our next one.
We should.
And...
are we going to do Night Road? Because we're both reading Kristen Hannah's Night Road.
I would do Night Road. I'm plowing through it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. She writes, she's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd be up for that.
Okay, cool. Hopefully everybody else is up for that. Not necessarily a new book, but, you know, nonetheless. Cool. All right. Well.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you. And until next time, keep reading. Okay, bye.